painting to photography, from beadwork to woodworking. KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University presents Artbeat. Artbeat highlights the work and accomplishments of local artists from in and around Winona. Support for Artbeat is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Now, here's Terry Tenseth with today's Artbeat.
On this episode of Artbeat, we visit with Emmy Award-winning director Dana Johnson. She'll share with us details on her documentary, Adventure Unknown. This film follows Minnesotan Alexis Skor and her career as a wakeboarder, but also shows her struggle dealing with a terminal illness that she has had for 10 years. We visit with Dana about her documentary, her career as a producer-director for Pioneer TV, and why she loves sharing people's stories.
I'm not actually even required to make full documentaries as part of my job. I'm just required to do the show. But I like doing it so much and have so much I want to do that I do the documentaries just kind of as a bonus.
I'm Terry Tenseth, and you're listening to Artbeat. Good afternoon. You're listening to Artbeat. I'm visiting with producer, director Dana Johnson from Pioneer TV. She won an Emmy a couple years ago about the musician Caroline Smith in a feature called A Way Back Home, and she's at Frozen River Film Festival showing Adventure Unknown. Thank you for joining us, Dana.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Now, how did you come across your subject matter for Adventure Unknown? It features an incredible young woman, Alexis Skor, who went on to win an amateur wakeboarding competition, correct?
Correct. Yes, I've known Alexis since she was a lot younger. We used to be in a water ski team together that went to the national tournament several times when we were on it. And then I just sort of followed her story as I went to college, and I had found out that she was diagnosed with leukemia, which was really shocking to me. So I kind of was updated every once in a while about her struggles with that, and then I thought her making it through it was a really inspirational story to me. So that's how I met her.
So you've got a two thing here. It's inspirational because you got a woman in wakeboarding, because I'm not sure how many there are that try to go pro or compete in that sport. And then you have the health struggle of a very healthy individual.
Yeah, it was. She was really active, super athletic, super energetic. So to find out that she was diagnosed with leukemia was really surprising, I guess. You just don't expect somebody like that to it was just really sad to watch, actually. She went through a lot of pain and suffering in the time, and just wasn't herself. So anybody that knew her, it was really sad to watch.
And how is she doing now?
Well, she started, instead of getting a bone marrow transplant, she started a medication called Gleevec, which has kept her cancer count low, but it's only supposed to work for around 10 years, and she right now is at her 10-year cancerversary, is what she calls it. So it's an interesting time in her life right now because she's not sure how much longer her medication will work and if she will eventually have to get the bone marrow transplant. So she's trying to make the best of it in case it's going to stop working soon.
Gotcha. So very real situation that your subject matter is continuing to deal with. So the story isn't over.
No, not at all.
What was your process in creating the film? How long did it take you to gather all the information and then put it together?
We started the project in probably December, and we finished it in May, so
right when it came out, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
We finished it probably maybe 5 hours before it went on air. So we really pushed it up to the...
You pushed it to the max.
Yeah.
What was really great from a production standpoint is there's all this footage of Alexa throughout the years that you were able to gather and use.
Oh, yeah. That was really great that she had all that video from her childhood and from the water ski team, and that really helped build the story, and most people don't save all that stuff, so that was pretty incredible to have access to that.
For you being the captain on the project, so to speak, and being able to look at things outside of the situation personally with your friendship, was that a big challenge?
Yeah, I mean, I hadn't hung out with her since she was probably 14. I'm a little bit older than she is, so we've never been close friends-wise, but just because I'm connected to that same group of water skiers, like, everybody knew what she was going through. And I just always followed her story and thought, God, I mean, what do I have to complain about if she's doing all this stuff and still dealing with a terminal illness on the side? It was just really inspirational to me, like, whenever I was going through a hard time, to think, well, somebody else is doing all the same life stuff, but then having to worry about taking this heavy medication all the time and dealing with the side effects. So it just, like, inspired me to keep going, even though if things got really bad, I just thought there's somebody else that is really doing well and has more to deal with than I do.
Sometimes as a documentarian, that it's hard not to get wrapped up in things and to see outside the project. Have you ever had that happen?
Like becoming too close
right.
to the project? Yeah, maybe. I guess there was a part of the film where we talk about her past relationship with a professional wakeboarder who mm-hmm. had a show on MTV. That part of the story kind of touched me because I felt there's people going through breakups and stuff that's really, like, earth-shattering for an individual, and then yet dealing with cancer on top of that. So I wanted to put that part of the story in, but some people didn't actually like that the part about her past relationship was in there. So I guess it's really up to the individual, but I usually just try to stick with what my creative vision is, because there's something to be said about too many cooks in the kitchen.
Oh, big time. Now, what made you pursue filmmaking and working with Pioneer TV? You don't wake up and say, I want to work in the art field and documentaries. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I really got inspired to make films through watching MTV growing up. I was a huge fan of music videos. I'd watch them all day long. And so when my dad sat me down and it's like, we got to figure out what you want to go to college for, he's like, what's your favorite thing ever? I'm like, well, music videos. He goes, well, then maybe that's what you should go to school for. So I did actually go to school for filmmaking out in Los Angeles. And I first started working small jobs in, like, commercials and chopping television, but I wasn't super content at that place, and I wanted to be a producer so I'd have more creative control over a project. And a friend of mine from the water ski team actually brought me this ad for a job at PBS and encouraged me to apply for it, and I've been working there ever since. I've been here over 5 years now.
Minnesota's got that boomerang effect. You just end up coming back.
Yeah. I really didn't intend on staying here when I came back to visit, and then just one thing led to another. I always had thought I would go back to L.A. I have a lot of friends there and a good connection, but I found a lot of success here, actually, and a lot of resources to make art. Minnesota has so much for arts money and grants and funds that it makes it easy to be successful. And with the smaller arena, you can become more of a leader, I've found, than in a larger city where a lot of the leadership positions are already filled.
Well, that, and I think there's a tight artist community here where people want to help each other on projects.
Oh, definitely. Like, I first started making films, a filmmaker, his name is Dan Heiding, helped me out for my first couple of years in filmmaking, and he's a music video filmmaker, and I learned a ton from him, and he travels the world making music videos. So to be able to work with somebody like that just because they want to help, I don't think you find that a lot of other places.
You don't find that in a lot of, like, corporate-type jobs.
No.
Can you talk to me a little bit about Caroline Smith? Because that would be about the time you came back, right? Or
yeah, that was one of my first documentaries I made when I came back. And I knew that I wanted to make kind of a music documentary, like kind of a hybrid film between concert footage and documentary footage. And I had found different films that I liked, and I found one that Dan worked on, so I contacted him, and I said, I'm interested in making something about Caroline Smith because she's from our viewing area. And he's like, well, that actually is great because her record company just had me film a concert of hers, and they're not sure what they want to do with the footage yet. So we got approval to use that concert footage, and then we built a whole documentary around it. And at this time, she had just totally changed her sound from more of a folk style to more of like a soul R&B style. So she was going through a really important transition in her career, and we were able to document that.
When I interviewed her a couple of years back at Midwest Music Fest, we talked about that transition and becoming comfortable in her body and viewing herself as a feminist and what that really is.
Yeah.
So she's kind of had these different waves in her career and life lately, which make her very interesting. She's a very talented woman.
Super talented.
Oh, man.
Somebody that really gets the entertainment business. Very easy to work with, a natural on camera. I don't see that a lot, and I have interviewed hundreds of people.
Let's talk about that. Who's been the most interesting case for you?
I would say by far, I did a small documentary on Peter Yarrow from Peter, Paul, and Mary. He wrote Puff the Magic Dragon.
Oh, yeah.
And I spent time with his family in Wilmer, Minnesota, where his kids were born, and he was married there, and they have a cabin. And they're super nice people, super eccentric, and kind of have like a magical, like when you talk to them, it's like you kind of space out into some weird third dimension.
They didn't give you anything, did they, Dana?
No, I don't think so. But I ended up like going water skiing with his son. They were just like the friendliest people. And I don't really want to say much more because I don't know who's going to hear this. But let's just say it was a really interesting time.
Gotcha. What is it that you enjoy about documentary filmmaking? Because it's tedious work.
I guess like just getting to meet people and really getting to walk in their shoes for a day. Like, we have a show here called Postcards where we film artists and historians and different cultural stories. So every day I'm out in the field and going into people's homes and getting to see different walks of life in a very intimate way that I never would get to experience in any other job. Like, there's so many times that me and my coworkers are just sitting there like, how lucky are we that we get to do this and get paid to do it? It's really an amazing job.
Do you like the production process or the post-production process more?
I like the production process. I like being out in the field. I like running camera. I like, envisioning different shots and stuff. I'm an extremely visual person, so the post-production process, there's a lot of room for creativity there, but there's also like a strong technical aspect that can be very tedious for me as like kind of a whimsical creative person. I'm just not as much that type of creative, but I work very closely with two editors that we almost make everything together, and they just really are on the same page as me. Get my vision, and I think that's super important to be kind of one with your editor. They have to know everything that you're thinking and everything you want. And a great editor, you almost don't even have to talk. They just know what you're thinking.
Now, how many pieces are you producing a month?
Well, our show, we are on our 8th season, and we have anywhere between 13 and 20 episodes per season. And each episode has approximately 3 segments in it. So each month, I'm probably working on like 5 or 6 segments at a time. Even right now, I'm planning for season 9, even though I'm not even close to being done with season 8. So it's kind of, you have to have everything going at the same time, or it doesn't get done.
Right. It's even when people see that a season ends on a TV show, that means that they're in some form of production process, and I think people forget that. You even when you're airing it, you're already working on the other content too. So it's a constant struggle to stay ahead, and then you have to find your own content.
Yep.
Correct?
So I come up with all the content for the show. People give me a lot of ideas, but I get a lot of them myself, too. I'm originally from this area, so that makes it a little bit easier me to know what the stories are. But I'm also married to someone who works in the newspaper business, so that helps, too. We can work together in that way with stories. It's just really fun for me, though. I love coming up with the ideas. Some people have a hard time or they run out of ideas. I don't think that I ever will run out of ideas. In fact, so much so that I'm not actually even required to make full documentaries as part of my job. I'm just required to do the show. But I like doing it so much and have so much I want to do that I do the documentaries just kind of as a bonus for the company to air.
What was it like for you when you found out you were going to win an Emmy?
The first time was super, every time is exciting, but the first time was super unexpected because the TV station I work for, Pioneer Public TV, hadn't won an Emmy before, and we've been around for 50 years. I had tried the year before really hard to win one, and I don't think I even got a nomination that year. So I sat down and I was like, well, whatever I did this time, I have to do something totally different because it's not working. So I just completely changed my format and was really hoping that I would get one, but definitely wasn't expecting it. So that was a super exciting moment, not just for me, but for everybody that works here, I think, to have that recognition.
What's been the most valuable lesson you've learned in your career?
I guess that any planning that you think you've done, you probably should have done 10 times more ahead of time.
But, yeah.
You know, they always say that in film school, pre-production, but it's true. And then I did one narrative film that was a lot different than documentary filmmaking. So, I guess that I'm a better documentary filmmaker than a narrative filmmaker.
What would you suggest to somebody who wants to get started in documentary filmmaking?
I would keep the subject matter small. I mean, even just a little something or person that interests you in your daily life. Like, you're thinking, why did that person move here? Why are they doing that? Like, that's to have a very small subject scope, I think, is important because you can really expand on the smallest idea.
That's wise. Yeah. Sometimes you can get a head in and be underwater real quick, too,
yeah,
if you're trying to tackle too much.
You wouldn't try to encompass too many things, for sure, and not in one documentary anyway.
Right. Well, is there anything else you want to tell us about your career or Adventure Unknown playing here at Frozen River Film Festival?
Well, I've been really excited about getting to take part in some of the film festivals in Minnesota and elsewhere. My narrative film, which is called Xenos, went to Portland Film Festival.
Oh, that's right. That's great.
And that was just like an awesome experience to be part of that. And then I've also done some stuff with the Square Lake Film Festival in Stillwater, and this is my first time at the Frozen River Film Festival. And I just really appreciate these festivals for what they do for filmmakers and networking. I'd encourage anybody who does make films and hasn't done anything with the film festival to try it, because they're pretty incredible events for if you enjoy filmmaking or just film themselves.
Excellent. Well, if people want to find out more information about you and what you got going on, where can they get in touch?
Well, you can always give me a call at Pioneer Public TV, or all of our stuff is online. It's on Facebook, YouTube, and my show Postcards is at pioneer.org/postcards. So enjoy.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for visiting with us.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks again to Dana Johnson for visiting with us on ArtBeat. More information on Adventure Unknown and Dana can be found through Pioneer TV's website at www.pioneer.org. Another thank you goes out to all who made Frozen River Film Festival possible. More information on the festival can be found at www.frff.org and on Facebook. I'm Terry Tensett, thanking you for listening to ArtBeat.
ArtBeat is written and produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. Visit us on the web at kqal.org.